The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want everyone to understand something. I believe with all my heart we are living in the last days. There are perilous times coming upon this earth. We have been greatly protected here in the United States from some of the things that are going on all over the world. And I thank God for that. But there's no guarantee that that will continue. Now, this is not a doom and gloom message. This is a message to God's people to recognize that we are warriors. There's battles skirmishes that's going to take place. They sometimes manifest in the natural. They are spiritual battles, but they manifest in the natural. Many of God's people, and I believe this with all my heart, that much of the church of Jesus Christ is asleep, and we do not know what time we are living in. We see, I'm telling you, the Laodicean church is alive and well here in the United States. We think we're rich and prosperous, and Jesus is saying you're poor because you're spiritually poor. We need to rise up and recognize what it really means to prosper in the Lord. And that is prosper in spirit. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus made it perfectly clear to us. We want to prosper. We must prosper and seek the kingdom of God first. I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I'm all for prosperity. I'm much more for spiritual prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if we get that, we've got everything. Jesus had no needs when he walked on the face of the earth. He knew he could ask the Father for anything, and it would be given him. So I'm talking about prayer, and I'm saying these things because I want you to understand that we are in dire need of supernatural move of God in this nation. We need to see the Pentecostal power of God poured out. Now, here's the thing. I believe that we are living under the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 says this. I love this scripture. And I'm applying this scripture to revival because we know that the scripture talks about the former rain and the latter rain, and it is compared to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. You're not going to get any more Holy Spirit than we've already got. It's been poured out. But here's what Zechariah says. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. In other words, ask for more rain. Even though we're living in the time of the latter rain, it's appropriate to ask God for more rain. It's okay to say, God, pour out your Spirit on us. We know we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We know we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there's something wrong. We're lacking somewhere. We're not seeing the supernatural move of God. Where are the healings? Where's the miracles? Where's the power of God to set the captives free, the drug addicts? How many of us have people in our own families that are addicted to drugs? Many of us can raise our hands. We know that. It's affecting every family in some way. Where's the power of God to set people free? Where's the power of God to heal marriages and draw people back together, to heal relationships so that families, children that are estranged from their parents are brought back to their parents? The prodigals come running back. Where's that power? I believe it's in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I believe we have it. I believe it's ours. But listen, we've become too comfortable in our religion. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. It's a corporate problem. It's a worldwide problem in the body of Christ. We just get comfortable. You know, there's nothing wrong with having some comfort from time to time, but when we just get settled in, There is an issue. Amen. Now listen, we all have some religious ideas that we need to get rid of. I'm included in that. There's no doubt about it. I've got to shake those religious doctrines and precepts off myself and get back to the Word of God so that we can recognize how awesome and powerful our God is. That He poured out His Holy Spirit on all flesh on the day of Pentecost. It happened. He didn't take it back. But on the day of Pentecost, some awesome things happened. Incredible things happened on that day. In fact, you know, this is not part of my message. I apologize for this, but turn to Acts with me. Second chapter of Acts. Now, we remember this. Here's something that is very important. Jesus said, go and tarry until you receive the promise. He told them they were going to receive a promise of the Holy Spirit. So He said, go and tarry and wait. And they had been waiting for some time now. They had been expecting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were probably had been waiting for a few weeks, maybe, you know, a couple weeks, maybe a little longer. We're not exactly sure how long. But they had been waiting for the outpouring. Now, when we think about this, we also recognize that the Word of God says that about 500 people saw Jesus. So it's very possible that 500 heard Jesus say, go and tarry. And by the time the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was only 120 people. And what I'm trying to explain to you this morning is that in regards to this situation is that we must be willing to press in and tarry for the power of God to be poured out. It's here, but what God is desiring, what God is requiring from His people is that we press in and we show Him by faith that we want this more than anything else. If we don't have an outpouring of the Spirit of God, if we don't see a manifestation of God's Spirit like that has taken place in times past, the church of Jesus Christ is going to die. I mean the real church. There's going to be plenty of places where there's people filling sanctuaries with their ears being tickled, but the real church of Jesus Christ is perishing. The power of God. Hallelujah. Needs to be poured out. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. When the power of God shows up, strange things happen. Yes, I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I want you to speak in tongues. But listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this time was more than just speaking in tongues. We put a great deal of emphasis on speaking in tongues because to be the evidence of whether you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, go and wait for the promise and you will be endued with power. The promise is not speaking in tongues. The promise is power. Yeah, there's some evidence there. Absolutely. But where's the evidence of the power in our lives? Where's the evidence that sets us free? Where's the evidence that we walk every day and we see those who are in need, sick and afflicted, and we're able to release that into their life? Where is it? And I'm speaking to myself more than anybody else in this place this morning. I need the power of God manifest in my life every day. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And they go on and talk about it, and talk about the wonderful works of God. But then in verse 13, it says, "Others mocked and said, 'They are full of new wine.'" Now, they were full of wine, all right. I guess it was new wine. The Holy Spirit. You know, when you're thirsty for God, we need new wine. We don't need water. You know, water baptism is awesome, but we need something greater than that. We need the new wine of God. And when you receive the new wine of God, and I'm setting the stage here for what I believe is going to start happening in this congregation, in this area. And that is the move of God that will be something totally different than we've ever seen before. And we better be ready for it. Because if we're not, our religion will get in the way. It's not going to be the same move as our grandfathers, our forefathers saw. It's not even going to be the same move that happened on the day of Pentecost. It'll be the same spirit. But it's going to be manifest in a different way. And don't be surprised when it happens that the world and even the church will say, "Oh, those people are crazy. They're just drunk." Because that has been happening since the day of Pentecost. And it's going to continue to happen. The question is, are we willing to set aside our pride? Are we willing to set aside our own desire to be esteemed by the world and by other people? Or are we more interested in pleasing the living God? A young girl was saved in a small revival service that they were having in an old country church many years ago, and it was on a Sunday, and she was excited, and she went home, and she was dancing around the house, jumping and shouting and praising God. Excuse me, I try to get this thing. Is that better? Making so much noise. She was shouting and dancing around the house, and her grandfather, who was a Christian, he chastised her. He said, "What is wrong with you, girl, dancing like that on the Lord's day? You should know better." And, of course, it crushed her. And she went out and she sat on the fence. And in the fence, they had an old donkey. And the old donkey was sitting there with its sad eyes and sad face. And she looked at that old donkey and she said, "Poor old donkey. You must have the same religion Papaw has." Now, I'll tell you that because, you know, if we're not careful, we'll allow our religion to get in the way of our relationship and the power of God moving. If we see things that happen, I can tell you, as my study, my research of past revivals, every time a revival has taken place, things have happened differently in that revival than happened in the past revivals. And everybody that was a part of the past revival always condemned the new revival. What's wrong with us? Let's embrace what God is doing. Let's run to the power of God. Let's get in this reign that Jesus is talking about that we can have, that the Holy Spirit tells us that we can ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain. It's raining, people. Let's get in it. That's right. Let's ask for more of it. Yes. Let it rain. And then he says the Lord will make flashing clouds. Hallelujah. Guess what? The Lord's going to cause storms. Not physical storms, supernatural, spiritual storms. Lightning's going to flash in this place. Lightning's going to take place in our families. There's going to be the power of God that's going to strike people like a flash of lightning. That's what we want, isn't it? But if we're not careful, we'll let our religion get in the way. And will turn us into a jackass. Now, I use that term because I want to show you how religious we can become sometimes. Most of us grew up thinking, well, you know, using that terminology was wrong. Why? Well, because it was misused, of course. They call people by that name. When we think they're stupid. And that is wrong. But it's just as wrong to say, thou fool, Jesus said. Amen. It's just as wrong to say, well, you idiot. How many times does that come out of my mouth? You see, we get a religious mindset about things. And the reality is, a donkey is called a jack. Or a donkey is called an ass. And if you have problems with that, you need to read the King James Version of the Bible because it's full of that word talking about donkeys. They're called an ass. A male donkey is called a jack. So jackass is an appropriate term. Amen? I'm just pointing out our religious mindset. I want you to understand it. That's why I'm trying to warn you this morning. Let's not get caught up in what we think should happen. And let's let God be in charge. Amen? Now, here's the part about this that I just love. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. That means everyone's going to get to receive and be beneficiary of the outpouring of God's goodness and His Spirit. When the rain comes and we ask for more of it, let it come, God. We're in this time of the latter rain, but give us more rain. Pour it out on us here at Bethel Worship Center. I'm praying that the rain will be poured out so much that there will be floods in this church. That we will receive what God is. Every time God has moved, though, I got to tell you, it's been because God's people were serious about praying. If you want to, you can be a part of what God is doing here at Bethel Worship Center merely by praying. I mean, I'd say merely, but that's powerful. I want you to know how powerful it is. Your prayer life, you can change things. Every revival that I've ever read about, it always started with prayer. People pressing in the face of God. In 1949, I mentioned this before to you, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it again. In the Hebrides Islands, a chain of islands just off the coast of Scotland, in that island chain in Scotland, the churches were basically dying. It was drying up. People were they just got tired of religion, and they didn't see the power of God moving. So the leaders called for repentance of the church and prayer. And very few people responded to it. But there was two elderly women who lived on Lewis Island that took it to heart. They were housebound. They were unable to get out. Yet, they believed in the power of prayer, and they started praying two nights a week. They'd start in the evening, and they would pray late into the night, sometimes early morning. And as they were praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peggy. It was Peggy and Christine Smith. They were 82 and 86, 83, 86, something like that, years old. And that's why they were housebound. They could hardly get out and get around. But they believed in the power of prayer. And as they were praying, the Holy Spirit showed Peggy a vision of her, of the church that her father helped build. And that church was full of young people. And in that church service, there was somebody up behind a pulpit that she didn't recognize. And so she knew that there was going to be somebody brought in that God was going to use in a mighty way. She called for the pastor, and the pastor came. And the pastor, you got to hand it to this pastor. He didn't just brush these two ladies off. He listened to what they had to say. And he gathered some of the men up, and they started praying a couple of times a week in an old barn. And it was the middle of winter. It was cold. And they would hide out in the hay mounds to try to stay warm as they were praying. But they were seeking God, and God began to move and began to speak to them. And they began to see the power of God manifest in the churches. And what began to happen was that people would pray, as they prayed, people would begin to fall under conviction of the Holy Spirit while they were in the fields, while they were looming, while they were cooking, while they were in bed at night. The Holy Spirit would just come upon them, and people would repent and receive Christ as their Savior. And then they would come to church. At the height of that revival, and it spread all over the Hebrides Islands and into Scotland, the height of that revival, they were having services four times every day. 7 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, and 3 a.m. in the morning. Wow. And they couldn't accommodate everybody that wanted to be in the presence of God. Why did that happen? It wasn't because man got up and was speaking some wonderful oratory words, powerful, educated words. No, it was because the Holy Spirit was drawing people. It was because people got serious about serving their living God and prayed and sought His face. Corrie ten Boom says, prayer is either your spare tire or your steering wheel. Amen? I want it to be my steering wheel. You know, I don't want to just run to God when I have a flat. I want Him steering my life. Duncan Campbell, who was the guy that was partly involved and responsible for guiding the Hebrides revival, said this about revival. He said, show me a people on their faces before God, gripped in the unction of prayer, and I will show you a people ready for a revival. When the Brownsville revival broke out, I think it was 98, something like that. Does that sound right? It broke out on Father's Day, and people were just amazed at the things that were happening, the power of God, the healings, the deliverance, all the things that took place. But it didn't just happen. Pastor Kilpatrick had gotten very serious about seeking the face of God, and for years he was crying out to God to send revival. He was talking about it. He was praying for it. He would get up in the middle of the night and go to his church and cry out to God for prayer. He had prayer groups that were praying. And God showed up. That's the reason I want to talk to you. And I already started talking to you a little bit about revival. I want you, not only about revival, but about prayer. Because I want you to understand the power that is in prayer. And I want us all to be on the same page when it comes to prayer. The first thing that I talked about in regards to prayer, we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And it says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. As surely I say to you, they have their reward. So we talked about that. Proper prayer draws attention to God, not to man. There's nothing wrong with praying in public, but why? What is our prayer all about? Are we praying to be seen of men, or are we praying to touch God and to reach God? The second thing I talked about is that it develops a relationship with our Father. A powerful prayer life is cultivated in private. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions I'm using the wrong scripture. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If we're going to have powerful public prayers, it's going to flow out of us from a time of secret prayer with our Heavenly Father. Find a place, a time, set it aside. Seek the Father. And then he says in 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Our prayers should be deliberate. They should be focused. And we can do that. We can make a list of prayers. When we have prayer time here on Tuesdays, we have a list of things that you can pray for. We're trying to give you some guidance, some help, but, you know, and just continue to add to that list of prayers. Seeking God. Now, here he says, do not use vain repetition. Betologos, geo, means a stammer or a stutter. And he's really actually referring to the way that the pagans, the heathen, would worship their gods. And we have an example of that when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. And he gave them the option to call down fire from heaven by their God. And they chanted all day long and cut themselves. And that's what he's talking about, the kind of chanting that the pagans would do, speaking things over and over. And I mentioned to you that that's even creeping into the church today. Some of the emerging churches are teaching people to do breath prayers, where you pick a word or a phrase and you just pray that, or you say that all day long, over and over and over. I have some problems with that. Yes, I'm in communication with my Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit living in me, all day long, but I don't have to chant. I just talk to him like I talk to Otis. What if I had it, every time I saw Otis, I would say, love you, Otis. 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 How ridiculous is that? Our Heavenly Father is a personality. Oh, he'd like it. He said, okay, right. You know, he's a person, a personality. We need to treat him as such. Therefore, we can have normal conversation with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? We can just talk to Him. Now, am I saying that you can't? Now, I'm going to spend a little more time on this morning to wrap this up. But I want you to understand that I'm not saying that you can't ask God for things more than once. You can talk to God. You can speak to Him. In fact, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. And I won't be much longer. I'm just about done here. Yeah, I did get sidetracked a little bit in the beginning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Everything that I've read about that particular statement that Jesus made. The word rendered ask there would literally mean keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. So it's not inappropriate for us to ask the Father for things, to pray some of the same prayers over and over. But I got to tell you, I've adopted this practice. I don't know, I picked it up somewhere along the line through the teachings that I've heard through years that I'm very comfortable with. And normally, I'll ask God for something in particular that I have a need of. And then from that point on, I just thank Him for hearing my prayer and answering that prayer, which is a way to keep it fresh in my mind. And, you know, recognizes that, you know, I'm building some faith here, believing that God is going to do what I've asked Him to do. He's faithful. So ask, seek, knock. In Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 5 through 10. Let's go there real quick, and then we're going to wrap this up. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Same scripture that we read in Matthew. So Jesus gives an example. And he's saying, it's okay to be persistent in your prayers, to seek the Father, to show Him that you're serious about these things in your life and the things that you're asking for. Now listen, we as human beings, we're moved by great oratory prayers, emotional prayers, where people use, you know, say powerful things that move us in the spirit and move us emotionally. That's okay. That's who we are humanly. That's awesome. But I want you to understand something. That does not move God. Your tears don't move God. Your emotions do not move God in any way. There's one thing that moves your heavenly Father according to the Word of God, and that is faith. With faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Those who come to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Matthew 21, I'm going to leave you with some scripture this morning as we wrap up. Matthew 21, 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. John 14, 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I would do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15, 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. These scriptures give us the two conditions that are necessary to see our prayer life become something that is powerful and meaningful for each and every one of us. And that is, abide in the Word, know what the Word says, pray according to the Word, and do it by faith. Amen. It's really very simple, but it's also very difficult for most of us. We get consumed by this world. We get consumed by just trying to make a living and hanging on, taking care of our families. But I just cannot convey to you enough how important it is for us to spend time in prayer. Private prayer in your closet. Find a place that you can pray. And cultivate that relationship with the Father. He wants it more than anything else. That's His desire. That's why He created us. He used to come down and walk every day with Adam and Eve. Now He wants to walk every day with you and with me. And He does. In the form of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Sometimes we just forget He's even there. I want to stir that up inside of all of us. We're going to continue to talk about prayer and how we can do it corporately and how we can do it privately according to the model prayer that Jesus gave us. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I wonder just how many of you would be honest with me this morning and say, I need to change my prayer life. I need to work on my prayer life. I need to, praise God. Thank you. I do too. Although I've been better as of late, just knowing that I've got to press into God, it's still, I need improvement. I need to come into that time with my Heavenly Father that stirs a fire inside of me. I cannot walk through this life. I cannot be the pastor of Bethel Worship Center. I cannot get in this pulpit on Sunday mornings without the fire of God in my soul. I have to have it. Otherwise, I'll just walk through this life and not fulfill the calling that God has for me. Really fulfill it. I'm going to pray for all of us this morning. That we will, every day, press in to the presence of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, You're such an awesome and mighty God. The Lord, my desire is to cultivate the kind of relationship with You that Your Son Jesus had, where I will hear from You and do nothing except what You tell me to. All of us, Father, in this place this morning, our desire is to increase our prayer life. And we ask that You just encourage us, stir our hearts, Lord, that we will have a greater desire to bask in Your presence, to cultivate our relationship with You, to talk to You. You're our Father, Lord. I can talk to You. My Daddy. I can share my hurts, my pain, my victories, my joys. I can share them with You. I can ask for anything according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I believe it, You'll provide it. Lord, today, I thank You that each person in here, all those who raised their hands, that they just know. That's honesty, Lord. We're being honest before You. We're not trying to hide. We're not trying to be religious in any way. We're just trying to be real with You. We all want some improvement in our spiritual life, in our prayer life. Father God, I believe with all my heart, as we continue to press into You, that there's going to be supernatural experience take place in this place and in our area. That You're going to pour Your Spirit in such a way that people's hearts and minds will be turned back to You. That there will be deliverance for the drug addict. There will be healing for the bodies in pain. There will be deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We call out to you this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are an awesome and mighty God, that you are hearing our prayer and our desire. We come to you in spirit and in truth this morning, Father God, asking, lead us, direct us, stir our hearts to a greater relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God. Praise God. Have an awesome day. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.